Always me, always me. Welcome to the program as we roll along on a Monday. Glenner here, filling in for Mr. Cruz on this fine Monday, first Monday of April. By the way, for those of you counting, we are into second winter now, because we have winter, and then we have first spring. Now we're into second winter, and then we get second spring before breakup. That's how that rolls. If you didn't know. Joining me today, this can't be good, I've got both Craig Compo and Mr. Bill Satterberg in here with me. Hi, guys. Here, hey. You got to get on that mic there. So I think that's how that works. There you go.
I'm on it.
There it is. Bill Satterberg, Craig Compo, of course, with us today. Now, our topic today, we'll start with this because you may have caught it. You may have caught it when Friday show. Good to have you guys both here.
Thanks.
Yeah. It's nice
good to be
see
here.
You guys. It's always fun to hang out with both of you. You're always a lot of fun. Two of my favorite people in the world. And they get into some mischief. We won't lie now. Over the years, of course, Craig, the two of you, how long have you two been friends?
I mean, friends,
well,
how long have you known each other?
How long have you known each other? Jeez, do I have to do this the whole show?
I don't know. What, 15 years? 20 years?
It's probably close to 20.
All right, 20 years. And in that time, you guys have had went to great lengths to prank each other. And Craig, you're usually the pranker. And I don't know of anybody that takes these better than Bill Satterberg. Is that just from years of working in law that it just rolls off your, like water off a duck's butt with you? How does that?
I'm so used to being abused in court, I can put up with that.
Okay, now, and.
And he's gullible. He's so gullible.
Well, yes and no. I can tell. Now, a week or so ago, you call me and you go, and this is like not even April Fool's Day. That has nothing to do with anything. He goes, okay, here's the deal. We're pranking Satterberg into thinking that he had won some kind of lottery.
The big lottery here in town, the Lotto Alaska. Yeah, it was like $40,000, right, and then a chance to win $1 million. Yeah. So him and I, for the first time, went in on a ticket.
Okay.
And we were on the river, and I didn't have my wallet. It was in the truck, of course.
That reminds
and
you. So, you owe me $100.
Yeah. So anyway, we used his credit card from the Good Pasta River, and we entered the Lotto, and. And then on the way home, he went to Delta
right.
to meet his family. Some of his family were over there, and I went home, and that's when I called you and two or three others to say, hey.
Just text him and say congratulations.
Yeah, you lucky son of a bitch.
Yeah. And of course, that went off. Yeah. And then I got a text back, and I think by the time I got the text back, he was on to it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you were the first text. I was onto it right then.
He's starting to get a little wiser on
well, I would. That's what I was getting at. You'd think so. You
although I was
think
thinking
so.
Of announcing for Congress here on Saturday or Friday last week. I was really thinking of doing it.
Oh, is that right? Okay.
As a joke, of course.
Of course.
No, I might have gotten elected. I got elected second year class in my law school because I said I needed the job.
Yeah. Well,
well, I did put on there, I saw Adam Wohl filing, and I put underneath it, wow, you're going to join me, huh? And I got some callback for that. Because I had a couple friends tell me, like, dude, you ought to run for this. You ought to run
51
for this.
People, get in it.
I was going to put Frank Turney's name in.
I don't think I would need much with so many in there. I get 100 votes. Yeah. I might win this thing.
Yeah, that's right. In the middle of June, nobody's going to be around to vote.
Congressman Glenner. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. All right. Joining us today here on Problem Corner, and we're talking April Fool's pranks from this year and years gone past with Craig Compo, Bill Satterberg with us. Now, on Friday's show, I was telling you last week, you know, I really, every year I'm doing something. The dihydrogen monoxide is still my best bit.
Oh, yeah. I like the tots.
Tats for tots.
That was great.
I thought your space shuttle landing at Eielson took the cake.
That one was a good one, too.
And then my wife got really upset when you announced that the cars were going to be going the other direction on the roundabouts in North Pole for the first week. And
oh,
then,
right. There was that. That caused a
remind us
bit.
About the peroxide one.
The dihydrogen monoxide, of course, which is the chemical term for water. I did it along, and helping me out with was one of the big guys at the Public Works was Steve Shuttleworth.
Oh, yeah.
And so I call Steve, lifelong friend. He has family in mind, and he was in on it. So I have him from Public Works, and we're talking about how there is some leakage of dihydrogen monoxide that's been is seen in buildings and schools, and if taken in high quantities, can be lethal. In high doses. And of course, we went on and on, and people freaked out, pulled their kids out of school, and we did it through the whole show. Next thing I know, the troopers call me. And then Department of the Homeland Security calls my boss, Perry. Oh. Now, this was Perry's very first week as general manager of the radio station after taking over for his brother, God rest his soul, the great Terry Wally.
Yeah.
And so this is his first week, and he's getting these calls. And they're all freaking out, of course, over
it. Is that the week that Satterberg was hanging out by the schools handing out business cards
to parents? Could have been. Probably so. And, of course, and my big comeback was, well, what scares you more, my prank or the fact that Homeland Security didn't know what the hell water was?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's exactly. A little bigger of a deal. So that was a good one. We've done some stuff over the years. And this year, we did the motorboating on the Chena with the Interior Motorboaters Association.
Yeah. And we're still getting calls. I've had people call up and say, hey, because they didn't hear the whole story.
Right.
You know, we pretended that we were bouncing all the floaters off the Chena River except above Wainwright and below Pike's Landing.
Yeah, just for safety concerns for the boaters,
For the motorboaters. And then I was on Prue's show, and they played the interview, and we took calls, and the phones were off the hook. People could not believe I would have the gall to initiate such a thing.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing that they talked about floaters on the Chena River.
I know.
I always remember those little brown floaters.
Okay. That's before water cleanup. Okay. And that was just one of them. And of course, now it was a great bit, and you guys came back at the end of the show. And
yeah. Well, I kind of turned it around. I said, I'm just really appreciative that everybody's so passionate about their outdoor access and rights to the river. So, and that's true. I mean, everybody wants to be able to do what they want to do on a river and float. And it was fun. It was a great prank.
It was a really good prank. And now, some years ago, we had another one with Compo and I. And I got a little hot water on that one as well.
The friends? Tribe?
The tribe.
Oh.
Lost tribe of the lower Chena.
We have the attorney for the lost tribe.
So we're fine. Yeah, we have the attorney for the tribe.
Sworn to confidence.
That was one of my favorites.
Yeah. Now, and that was one I had talked about forever, and I think we brought it up on this show some years ago, and that was, I used to love pranking the Riverboat Discovery somehow, something. But, and the Binkley boys, you know, they take that gig pretty serious.
Way too serious.
As we found out.
Oh, yeah.
They were honest. I think they have their own arm of the law. I'm not sure.
Drones.
But anyway, so I thought it'd be fun to, you know, do this like caveman setup, like an old ancient caveman tribe on the river, and then have the Riverboat Discovery go by. And we did that. And I tell Craig, of course, he runs with it. I talk about it for years.
He makes it happen. Yeah.
And he shows up at my house with a bunch of like Fred Flintstone costumes and everything, and wigs and big crazy stuff.
Wait a minute.
Stuff.
Your wife was dressed like Raquel Welch in that caveman movie.
Yes, she was.
She was hot. She was a hot cave woman.
She looked real. Yeah, she did. She had the Raquel Welch cave girl thing on.
There were some guys trying to jump off the boat.
Yeah. It was pretty spectacular. Won't lie. But I had like this big gray wig and a Fred Flintstone, everything
missing
but the tie.
Tooth.
Yeah, the whole thing, right. And we had a fake little huts, and we had a fire going with bear meat.
Black bear meat cooking there.
On the fire.
And just to put it in perspective, we're across the river and just up from Susan Butcher's camp there.
Right.
And so the riverboat, everybody's getting their cameras ready. They're talking about this native historical fish camp, and so we're one bend up. We've got spears. Glenn's holding a salmon.
I bite a chunk out of the salmon actually.
And we're around this fire like we're having some ritual, and we all look up, and here comes the riverboat, and we just stare at it like deer in headlights.
Right, and then one of the guys throws a spear at the boat, and then we all scamper off into the woods. I throw the fish, and we all scamper off and hide in the woods.
And we've got a guy on the boat videotaping the whole thing. The expressions of all these people that look at each other like, is this real?
Right, and even the announcer, I believe it was J.R. Lewis, is on the boat going, this isn't part of the tour. This isn't what we do.
He said, somebody call Fish and Game.
Yeah.
I was on that boat, by the way.
That was great.
It was wonderful.
Well,
and then, of course, as it goes by, we break down the camp.
Yes.
And for some reason, you had an old grandfather clock. Didn't work or whatever.
Yeah.
And we just
Because we couldn't get a phone booth. We were looking for a phone booth.
Right.
So it looked like we got tased into the atmosphere.
Right, like Doctor Who or something, yeah. or Bill and Ted's yeah. Excellent Adventure. Yeah. And instead, we just leave this clock, and we get in the boat, and we head upriver to escape, thinking we'd pulled this off.
Yeah.
And that's when the Binkley boys show up.
Oh, they heard
and the
about
chase
it.
Ensued.
Well, they grabbed all the stuff, didn't they?
Yeah, oh, they went back and stole the...
Oh, and then they called, remember, or yeah. Bill called. Bill called... I got a call from John Binkley, and he left a message. He goes, "Hey, Craig, I'm not really sure what's going on here. Can you give me a call? I think I heard you're involved with this." And then Satterberg called. I call Satterberg, and he calls him, and he says, "Yeah, you had a message to call me?" He goes, "Who is this?" He goes, "Well, I'm Bill Satterberg. I represent the Lost Tribe of the Lower Chena." and that's on. Hey, that's online.
You can it is. Go, you can Google search on YouTube, Lost Tribe of the Lower Chena, and it'll pop up.
It's phenomenal.
All right. And then I got a call. From the tolerance, what is it? The city, and that's where I got in trouble.
Politically correct committee.
Yes, and we're gonna pick up there right after this break on Problem Corner.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Let's face it, ladies. Men are kind of stubborn. So I called Men's Health Alaska at Fairbanks Urology and made him an appointment to get screened because prostate cancer is no laughing matter. Plus, they can help with low testosterone and even ED issues. It's total men's health. I love my guy, and I want him to stick around. So contact Men's Health Alaska at Fairbanks Urology, 328-0989, or online at fairbanksurology.com. Sure, men can be stubborn, so do what I did. And just tell him you're taking him to the dog park. Hey, it works on Fido.
Woohoo, the dog park!
Men's Health Alaska at Fairbanks Urology.
Don't miss 50-50 Friday on KFAR. Every Friday morning at 9 a.m. sharp, we offer up amazing gift certificates from different local businesses. That's when they go on sale for half price. From incredible food offers to fantastic services, you'll get it for half price every Friday at 9 a.m. So don't miss out on this offer.
This week's 50-50 Friday is Friar Tuck's Hokey House. Perfect time to score that awesome food at half price. The Tuck's Roll, the Po' Boy, huge salads, amazing French onion soup, and their famous Hoodoo cheese fries. Plus, live sports on the big screen in every corner. Or get your meal to go. Safe, clean, fast, and delicious. And now you can get two $25 gift certificates at half price. This week's 50-50 Friday from Friar Tuck's Hoagie House off Merhart Avenue.
This Friday morning at 9 a.m., log on to our website at KFAR660.com. Simply click on the red 50-50 ticket in the upper right-hand corner and get your gift certificate for half price. That's 50-50 Friday at KFAR660.com.
Weather brought to you by The Woodway, your steel outdoor power equipment dealer for Interior Alaska. See the full line of steel products at The Woodway today. The Alaskan way, the right way. The Woodway.
KFAR weather.
Chance for snow today, otherwise cloudy skies. High of 22, north winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance of snow tonight, 7 above, cloudy. Chance for snow tomorrow, high of 31. 1 to 3 inches of snow today through tomorrow. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 3 degrees above zero.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
And we're back here on KFAR Radio, streaming live. Good to have you with us. Glenn Anderson filling in for David Pruse on this wonderful Monday. A little chilly out there, but that's okay. Joining me, of course, Bill Satterberg, our attorney, and we should throw that just because we're going to get in trouble again. And, of course, Craig Compo, and we're talking about April Fool's jokes gone good and awry. And I had mentioned our little prank with the
Lost Tribe.
With the Lost Tribe of the Chena River. And during that event, afterwards, I get a call from the mayor saying, "Hey, heads up, you're going to get a call from the Diversity Council because your name came up about the Chena River prank." And, oh, okay, sure, fine, whatever. So they call me, and I get a call. And the Diversity Council, and in this day and age, I'm all for it. I have no problem. I'm as diverse of an individual as you can. I like everybody, and I rate you, and I judge you the same way my dad judged everyone. Are you a good person? Other than that, I don't care what you are, what you're into, what color. I don't care. I don't care.
Are you saying you're so diverse you don't even know what gender you are anymore?
I have no idea,
okay.
Bill.
Okay, we'll ask Maria.
I have no idea. I'm fluid. I'm gender fluid. That's one of them, you know.
I got to play it off that one.
There's 72 genders. I didn't know if you knew that, so you better keep
up.
At any rate, so I get this call, and I tell them right off the bat because I know I'm going to get, you know, they're going to. I said, "Hey, you guys are wonderful. I love what you do. I think there's a lot of serious problems in this town, and it's organizations like yours that can make them better, which it can. And I said, so what pressing matter is it that I can help you with on this? And there was a pause because they were trying to figure out how to talk about it. And they said, well, it was about the thing you did on the river. I said, well, oh, where we dressed up like cavemen. Well, yeah, but it was really more. And they were trying to basically tap dance around the fact they thought I was making fun of Alaska indigenous people.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I wasn't. I was dressed like Fred Flintstone.
Right, right.
All right, you know, think indigenous people, but go back a million years.
Right.
And and that's what we were doing. And it was all, and they said, well, you know, you filmed. And I said, oh, I didn't film it. Oh, well, you know, and then when you post it, no, I didn't post it either.
Yeah.
I just happened to be in it.
Yeah.
And that was the last I heard from the Diversity Council regarding the Lost Tribe of the Lower Chino.
Yeah, still
and I think it was because we used the word tribe. That's the only thing I can think of.
Oh, could be, yeah.
That's the only thing. Because other than that, there was really, it was cavemen. We were dressed, I had a big gray wig.
Yeah.
You know?
It should have been cave person.
Oh, maybe that's what it was. Hey, we got a call coming in. Do we dare? Do I dare? I
hope it's not my wife.
KFAR, you're on. Who's this? Hello?
Oh, it's a deaf mute guy.
Hello? Oh, hi. Yeah, you're on KFAR. Who's this?
Hey.
Do you really think my insurance agent would ask me to buy more?
Thanks for the call. All right, and that moves us on to our next one, and that is every April Fool's Day, which happens to be Bill's birthday. Craig, for years you've taken out a large ad in the paper for, let me see, can I go over some of these titles?
Yeah, sure.
Naked and Afraid.
Oh,
and I believe it was him and...
It was Harriet Willard who...
looked a lot like Hillary
looked
Clinton.
Like Hillary Clinton. She was a lactation specialist from Palmer.
Okay. Right. And that was a full article. Another one, I'll call it P-Test.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So Bill was defending a state of Alaska worker that got fired for wrongful discrimination. And Bill was suing because this employee borrowed some urine from a friend, and it turned out to contain Xanax and Ambien and all kinds of other illegal compounds. And so Bill was suing the friend for lending him bad urine, which failed the test.
And these are all fake articles from past episodes or issues of the Newsminer on April 1st. It's always April 1st.
Absolutely. And people believe these. It does say paid advertisement at the bottom of it, but Bill gets calls all the time.
Every year you get calls on this?
And people think I'm the one that did, and I do not know about any of these until the day they come.
No, you know nothing. I knew about this one because I saw the article.
All my friends do, and they just look at me and laugh. You know, I go,
Arctic Man booth.
Oh, yeah. So local attorney to open booth at Arctic Man. So he was selling cheese, deep-fried cheese products and also domestic violence orders and
DUIs.
So he had a booth. He had
a booth there, so you can charge people
right
there.
Between all the vendors, yeah.
Contaminated water was it?
That was last year, yeah. So what he did there was because of the North Pole issue with contaminated water, where everybody's getting free water. Bill started a class action suit from everybody that bought the one square inch of land since 1964. Right. They were landowners, so their land was spoiled.
I actually had some calls on that one.
And yeah, so they got free bottled water for life.
They're all from Salta.
Social distancing, that had to be fairly recent. That was 2 years ago. That was during COVID.
Yeah.
When everybody, this was, in fact, April 1st. That's smack dab in the middle when we were all scared to hell of COVID.
Oh, yeah. And the picture is of Bill with a tape measure going down the bar at Bobby's. And he was suing an elderly couple. I think it was Rick and Betty Doe.
Rick and Betty Doe.
And I'm sure they're listening to the show.
They're regular listeners. Yeah, but that was a great one. And yeah, they were suing him for encroaching on the social space.
All right, so there you go. Those are some of the bits. Now, Bill, you had brought up, of course, the fact that your birthday is on April 1st.
Right.
But also another local, well-known individual, good friend of ours, and that is Ralph Seekins.
Ralph Seekins,
also
right.
Birthday on April 1st.
Right.
And you guys pulled a prank years ago on KFAR with Michael Dukes when he was still here locally.
Yeah. Well, basically what it was, it's just one of these things you kind of conceive of. When Ralph and I came down here and we made the announcement that we had acquired the University Park, which was at that time empty elementary school.
The one on University Avenue, the previous.
Right. We had acquired it, and we had set it up as a rehabilitation center for sex and drug offenders. And that was funded by the National Institute for Behaviorally Modification of Behaviorally Impaired Youth, or NIMBY. And calls started coming in. People were mad. They were cussing us out. And I remember one guy said, well, how do you plan to do this? And I said, well, it's important. In fact, we have the Take an Offender Home program, and you can actually check out an offender. They go home and watch your kids while you and your wife go out to the movie.
Oh, oh my God.
Okay. Yeah, we had to go on
no
TV.
No filter.
The next day, we had to go on Channel 11, and I couldn't believe it. We're sitting there posing in front of the University Park and apologizing for this joke that people were taking so seriously. And then Ralph starts. He was a politician at the time.
Right.
Well, there was actually a social message in this, and there was no social message.
Way to cover it up, Ralph. That's why he's the master, though. That was a good spin. Now, speaking of Ralph Seekins.
Oh, yeah, and I wasn't in on this, and I'm ashamed I wasn't. I would have loved this. When Ralph was, when Cal Worthington was in Anchorage, and
right.
he had opened up in Anchorage, and I think it was the next year, some friends of Ralph's decided, and one of them worked at the Newsminer, let's make a fake page for the newspaper, like page 3 or whatever, and we're going to put a full-page ad that says, Cal Worthington's coming to Fairbanks. They only built like a dozen of these papers. I'd love to see one to this day.
Someone's got them. Maryland might have one. That's when Marilyn Romano
That's right.
Right, she's with Alaska Airlines.
I may be getting some of the details wrong, but the way I understand it, Ralph went out in his robe to get his Sunday morning paper, whatever it was April 1st. And he gets the paper and he opens up and saw that Cal was coming to town. Well, nobody told Ralph Cal was coming to town. So he apparently blew a fuse, as I would if it was a big competition coming to town. A classic. I mean, a fake newspaper. They could probably never pull that off today. But
be like a skidoo dealer in Delta or something.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, you know, one of the big ones was down in Southeast, and I think it was in Mount Edgecombe in Ketchikan,
Sitka,
where the guy started the tire fire
at
the top of the mountain to make it look like a volcano. That one was a brilliant one as well.
Yeah.
We're talking April Fool's pranks with our good friend. It's Bill Satterberg, Craig Compo. We're going to talk about a couple others coming up here in just a little bit, some that I had done on the radio, as well as some that Craig has done. And we're going to look past it a couple of those as well. If you've got a good one you remember, feel free to call and chime in. Why not? 458-8255. That's 458-TALK. Got about a minute and a half before news, gentlemen. But April Fool's Day is one of those. Now, my daughter, and I just found this out 15 minutes ago, and I've got mixed emotions.
You mean your grandfather?
No. even better news than that is that she was accepted and she's got her job now. She'll be leaving in a month to live in Japan.
Wow.
Last time she went to Japan, it was for a year or two for school, and she was like 19, and God, we couldn't wait to get her out of the house. But she's 25 and fun now. She's like, we like her. She's a young adult, and she's does so much in the community here with the food bank and with the literacy council and teaching.
Girl.
And she's just
great sense of humor, too.
Oh, amazing girl.
Got it from her mom.
Yeah. And every year, I would prank my parents when they would leave to go to Arizona. Snowbird. And I'm going to tell you the story of that and my daughter, and we're going to get into more of the pranks with Satterberg and Compo. Talking April Fools on this fine morning. Fox News, Alaska News Minute, we got them both coming up next. You're listening to Problem Corner.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
News. I'm Steve Rappaport. President Biden calling for a war crimes trial against Vladimir Putin following reports of atrocities on the outskirts of Ukraine's capital.
Ukrainian troops returning to previously held land to find death throughout these towns. Bodies of civilians laying face down, some of them with their hands bound behind their backs or their legs tied together. Reports of torture. Reports of rape.
Fox's Alex Hogan in Lviv, Ukraine's president described the killing of civilians in the town of Bucha as a genocide. A federal judge blocking the military from disciplining a dozen Air Force officers who asked for a religious exemption to the COVID-19 vaccine mandate.
Judge McFarland said the case presents a constitutional collision course of Air Force members trying to exercise their religious beliefs against their esteemed superiors who have loaded their weapons against them.
Fox's Jessica Rosenthal. America is listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Alaska State Troopers reported that the Alaska Bureau of Investigation are investigating the death of a Wasilla woman as a homicide. Troopers wrote in an online dispatch that 39-year-old Parthena Kincaid, who was last seen at approximately 3:15 a.m. on March 30th and had been reported to the troopers as missing on Thursday, was found dead on Saturday inside her vehicle. Trooper spokesperson Austin McDaniel said that Kincaid's body was located at approximately 5:30 p.m. Saturday evening near mile 55 of the Seward Highway. Her death is being investigated as a homicide by the Alaska Bureau of Investigation, troopers wrote. Troopers encourage anyone that may have information about Kincaid's death to call 352-5401 or submit an anonymous tip online through the AK Tips smartphone app. With a focus on building infrastructure in Alaska's remote communities, a global telecom cable system provider will be creating a 200-mile fiber optic communications connection in southeast Alaska. The SeaLink project by the Prysmian Group will bring broadband cable to Prince of Wales Island. The company has a $20 million contract with Alaska Power and Telephone Company to develop and install two submarine fiber optic cable
links. Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
Large pepperoni pizzas every day, fresh and fast, at Great Alaska Pizza Company for only $10.99. Alaska's best pizza value all day, every day. Large pepperoni pizzas only $10.99. Carry out only.
The Great Alaska Pizza Company.
The Fairbanks Hearing and Ballot Center has big news. It's that time when all the major hearing aid manufacturers release new products. Dr. Mariana McElwain and her team are excited to show you the latest. From ReSound. Recently, ReSound released the One Hearing Aid.
Hello, this is Ward Mertes. More than 20 years of helping Alaskans smeared in automobile accidents, and the families of Alaskans killed in car crashes have taught us a few things. Get a seasonal tune-up. You'll be counting on your car to get you home safely this season. Do yourself a favor and get a tune-up. Ask your mechanic to help you drive safely. Take his or her advice. Prepare your car and truck for the season driving now. The Mertes Law Firm has helped injured Alaskans for more than 20 years. It's who we are. And while we hope you never need us, we're here if you do.
Tire changeover season can really sneak up on you. Regardless of whether you've been staying late at work or working hard on your slap shot, we get it. You've got a life. And we've got you covered. With 8 locations statewide, Eliska Tire has... the tools.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
A couple technical difficulties. I have no idea what was doing that, but we'll figure it out. Welcome back to Problem Corner on this.
You just said you have a couple of technical difficulties in here?
Yeah, both of you.
Yeah.
No, that's exactly where I was going with that. Welcome to the program. Good to have you with us on this fine morning as we're talking here on Problem Corner today. And I tried to bring that up, and I might have to do it at the quarter after or a quarter till break and see if I can find it, because I thought I had it loaded, and I do not, as we're talking about some pranks. And I have one that you had pulled on Bill around the holidays, and we're going to air that one in a little bit. Of course, what we're doing now is we're just talking about pranks, and, of course, a couple pranksters here with us with Craig Compo. Now, we were talking about pranks, and what started in my house was when my parents would leave for, they would snowbird, but they would come back at like 90 days so they'd get their dividends still.
Oh, of course.
And it always worked out to April Fool's Day. So they would fly in. Usually they'd get in about 1 or 2 in the morning, like every flight does from anywhere in the world to Fairbanks, Alaska.
Yep.
And they would be, you know, they're older couple. They're spent. They're tired. And they would get home to the house entirely filled with Halloween decorations and scary music and everything. Once it was filled with balloons. Another time, my mom hates spiders, filled the house with fake spiders.
She was a doll.
Oh, she was wonderful. They're dead now. But
well, that was emotional.
Yeah. I don't think it had anything to do with me. I'd like to think not. But a couple of my favorites. One, I had everything leaning on twine. Chairs leaning over, vases hanging by twine. Like a labyrinth they had to crawl through in the house. Oh, and in the middle of the house,
tired and old,
was a pair of scissors hanging on a string from the ceiling. My best one was April Fool's Day around Easter. So I combined them. So they came home, and I've got my dog's kennel, little travel kennel, locked and chained to their fridge. Inside is a CD player with Metallica on cranked up to 11 on loop.
Oh.
Just cranking. And then they had to do an Easter egg hunt with each egg giving you a hint where the next egg is, with the key being in the last egg.
And, see, that's,
and it took
that's,
him an hour.
That's the first thing I want to do when I come back from across the country tired on an airplane, right?
Is listen to Metallica when you're 75 years old and trying to find Easter the egg. So since then, my lovely daughter Ryan has pranked my office. Google Eyes. Last year, it was tens of thousands of sticky notes, various color, on every single thing in my office. The wall, I still have one wall covered.
And I walked in your office this year.
This year, it's under. She went with an under the sea theme, with all these strands like seaweed. Even had bags of seaweed laying all over the floor. My drawers were filled with bags of goldfish, and then she even had a fish tank. And in the fish tank, it says, don't tap the glass, but you'll have to find me. I stared at that fish tank for 20 minutes trying to find. There was no fish. So way to go, lovely Ryan, my daughter. She's leaving for Japan in a month, and I'm going to miss the hell out of her, especially next April 1st. That's for sure.
So sweet.
We're here with Craig Compo, Bill Satterberg, and we're talking about pranks.
Hey, during the break, we just remembered a couple of them that we had done. One of them was over at Bobby's restaurant, our favorite restaurant. It was Bill's 61st anniversary. Bobby was out wandering. He was, he was walking down to the Mecca or wherever he was going, but he was just getting a break, a nice break away from work. And I had called him and said, hey, it's Bill's birthday. Can you do the traditional plate breaking, the Greek?
You bust them on the
bust,
floor.
Yeah, you bust all these plates. And usually they have dancers and everything else like they did on your 60th.
On my 50th, I went to a different place for the dancers. But
Anyway, so Bobby finally comes.
Upon reflection, anyway.
Oh, okay. There we go.
I went down to Valley Village, bought a bunch of plates, so I didn't have to waste Bobby's plates. What the setup was, we were sitting around those big pillars in Bobby's, and I had a fake blood pouch in my hand. And so we're sitting all around, and Bobby starts breaking these plates, and I suddenly slam this thing up to my eye, and fake blood runs all the way down my face. I stand up, I grab the pillar, I slide down it. There's blood going down, and fake blood going down the pillar. The look on Bobby's face was, oh my God. He's thinking one of my best patrons. You know, like he looked at me like I just bought a boat. How am I gonna make the payment? Oh, it was hilarious.
Hoping he had insurance.
Yeah.
Now another one of my favorites. Speaking about favorite restaurants and people, and that is with Bobby Lynn. Benny Lynn out at the Pagoda.
Oh.
When you pranked Benny.
Best one ever.
And that was a good one because I got the call on that one too. You got to set that one up because it was summer and it was pouring rain.
It was the Thunderheads were coming in. We're going out to bet on the horses. We always bet on the horses. We have a fun little game we play. And I went out early
that day.
So it
was Kentucky Derby time.
Yeah, it was Kentucky Derby.
So it was in early May then.
Yeah, that's right. And these Thunderheads were rolling. It was just starting to lightly rain, but you could see this thunder squall
right,
coming
the big
in.
Black sky, right.
So I go in, I'm having a meal there, and I say, Ethan, I said, hey, is Benny around? And he goes, no. He goes, you didn't hear what happened? I said, no. Oh, he's in the kitchen freaking out with Anthony, the manager. I said, well, what happened? He goes, oh, he's coming back from Costco or Sam's Club at the time with a pallet loads of 5-gallon buckets of cooking oil on the back of his truck. And he hit the roundabout too fast. And, of course, the oil buckets flew off. Half of them broke, half of them didn't. And it's starting to rain pretty hard now. He's picking them all up, and he doesn't know what to do. There's 5 or 10 or 15 gallons of cooking oil in the roundabout there. And I said, oh, you shouldn't have told me that. So I immediately called Nick Stepovich, another partner in crime. I said, here's Benny's number. Pretend you're Phil Robinson with DEC, and you want to know if he knows about an unreported oil spill. Here's his cell number. So while he's in the kitchen, he gets the call. And he pretends he's English. He goes, my English not so good.
Oh, of course he pulls that.
Yeah,
I love
pulls
that.
A race card. So he puts the phone over to Anthony, who also swallows the hook. Anthony thought it was true. So they look at each other and they grab 32 of those big, beautiful, round, burgundy tablecloths, throw them in the truck. They run out there. They're sopping up cooking oil, totally inert cooking oil, and they're sopping it up in a lightning storm.
Well, wait a minute. The cooking oil was in the dihydrogen monoxide.
Yeah. Right, yeah. It was being mixed,
but
and
the
you
best
can't
part
have that.
Is, like we do, we call a few friends. Freddie Scott called. He goes, hey, I'm trying to get out to the bets, but I'm stuck on the airport. There's guys with mops and orange suits, and Satterberg calls. He says, hey, Benny, the North Pole police are calling me. What is going on out there? So Benny quits taking phone calls, and now I'm trying to text him from the bar, telling him that this is a joke gone bad. You know, Nick was supposed to tell him it was a joke, never did.
Probably forgot. You know, threw it away in the dumpster.
stop it. So anyway, so the next thing I know is staff, because he's over at Napa across the street picking up more absorbent pads. So I finally get Napa on the phone. He won't answer his phone, and they tell me he doesn't want to talk to anybody. He's wet and pissed. And so he finally get him on the phone. They tell him how important it is, and I said, Benny, it's compo. This is just a joke. It's gone bad. There's no oil spill. There's no TEC. That was Nick Stepovich. And I'm not going to repeat what he said. It was two words. You can figure it out. And it wasn't in Chinese. Anyway, it was that was one of my best.
I think we can say that. Don't say that. Okay. I don't even know what it means, but I have a feeling it's probably something.
Two words.
Okay. Anyway, you know, I had a I pulled one off myself years ago. Winston Burbank's last day on the bench. I was able to get into the courtroom earlier.
The judge,
right, mm-hmm. When he was a judge. At the time, the prosecutor was a guy named Ben Seekins. And I snuck in along. Tom Temple was working with me, myself, and Wendy Dowes works with Burrow. We taped a fart machine under the DA's chair.
Of course you did.
Remote-controlled fart machine. And it was great. I mean, we pulled off three of those before Burbank finally figured out who had the button. I didn't realize that sequence because he ended up being a judge.
Yeah, right? Yeah. All right, let's go. I think we got another caller coming in. Good morning. You're on Problem Corner. Hello.
Hi, listen, I had to grow up with this joker, so you can imagine what that does to your psyche.
My sister.
It's not your sister. Yeah. Of course, right?
I don't remember. Anyway, I don't remember pranking you ever, did I?
Oh, every single day.
You're the younger.
I think her and my sister have formed a support group.
Yeah. Which one, Karen?
Yeah, hello, my name is Karen, and my brother pulls my name.
Hello, Karen.
Hi. So listen, don't forget the one about, this is Satterberg and Craig, when you were back at the Supreme Court about buying drinks.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. Bring up another one. Thank you.
We pranked Bernie Carl.
I got a full load.
Okay. It was nice to see you again as well.
Yeah, you too. You followed me all over Fred Meyer's place.
I was stalking you. You're pretty. What can I say? That's what I do. That's what I do in my spare time.
Hey, great show, thanks.
All right, bye now. All right, that's Craig's sister. All right, so do tell.
Okay, well, this was the one. Yeah, we were in the we went out for the Sturgeon hearing, and we got a call from Bernie Carl, who said, hey, I want to buy, we were having dinner at the Occidental, beautiful restaurant there, and he said, I want to buy you guys a round of drinks, really support what you were doing, so it's on me, whatever you guys want, it's on me. And well, we were having a margarita or something, I forget. And Bill, I think, came up with the idea, hey, let's all have shots, not really have shots, but let's all pretend we ordered a shot of McCallum.
25.
25, like, you know, it's like, how much a shot is that?
It's $2,500 a bottle.
Okay, so what we did is we had a receipt made up from that restaurant that showed $1,178.50 or whatever, and I got it back. I sent it to Bernie, scanned it, and sent it to him when I got back. Never heard a thing for quite a while, and finally we had our Wednesday lunch, and he said, are you going to be at your lunch? I didn't mean to put it off. I'm going to reimburse you. I said, yeah, okay, that's fine, Bernie. Yeah, you got the receipt? Yeah. He shows up with $1,200 in a huge jar, 65 pounds in quarters, in shellac. he lugs this thing in and sets it down on the counter there. So he got me good. Yeah. He said, I always pay my bills.
Yeah, payback is
Compo
tough.
Cleaned each one of them up.
Yeah. Bill Satterberg, Craig Compo hanging out with us on this Monday. We're going to take a quick break for some weather. I'm going to see if I can go get that bit, because we got to play the bit.
Okay.
That was just way too funny. I also have the one from Friday that we could play again.
Oh, that was great.
Just for fun. So that one we do have, and we'll play it here in just a moment. That is all coming up right here. Following a listen to the weather. That is next.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
I'm a goose watcher. I'm a goose watcher. Watching those geese drop by, my, my, my. I'm a goose watcher, I'm a goose watcher. Here comes one now. I mean, right now.
Springtime is Goose Watch time, and that means the return of the geese to Kramer's Field is just around the corner. You'll win $500 in cash courtesy of Frontier Outfitters and Century Hardware just for guessing when the first flock of Canada geese arrives. Stop into Frontier Outfitters in the Gavora Mall or Century Hardware in the North Pole Plaza Mall to enter. If your guess is the closest to the official time and day without going over, you win $500. Visit KFARradio.com for details and official rules. Must be 18 or older, be a Goose Watcher, and win $500 cash.
I'm a Goose Watcher. I'm a Goose Watcher. Here comes one now.
Every house has windows, and when you have questions about purchasing new ones, where do you go? No, you don't ask Google. And if you did, it should tell you to go ask Steve at Glass Solutions for all your window and door-related questions. Steve's Alaska's expert with more than 30 years' experience selling Artigrade windows that will last. Everyday wholesale pricing on time-tested major brands that have proven themselves at 50 below zero. Call 699-9633 and ask for Steve for your best solution at Glass Solutions.
Weather This Hour brought to you by Long Building Technologies. Make your building the smartest around. Call Long today to find out about their building intelligence systems that will save you money. 561-3044. Or find out more at long.com.
KFAR Weather.
Cloudy skies today with a chance of snow. High of 22. Northerly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance of snow again tonight. Lows around 7 above. Cloudy. High of 31. Tomorrow, chance for snow. 1 to 3 inches of snow today through tomorrow. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood. Currently, it's 3 degrees above zero.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
You know, we were back at Problem Corner here. Glenn Anderson filling in for Dave Bruce. He'll be back tomorrow with us. Bill Satterberg, Craig Campo. We're just talking practical jokes, April Fool's Day and what have you. And, of course, one of my favorites, I remember we just had the Goose Watch ad with the great Bill Wally, my mentor, the man that hired me here 40 years ago. Yeah. Well, 34 years ago, I guess. 35, something like that. But at any rate.
He was a classic. He was a classic.
And one of my favorites, and I think I've told this story here, and that was when Jerry Evans and I were doing the morning show on K-Wolf. And we had it was when the Carlson Center just opened, and Stevie Ray Vaughan was in concert. And we had tickets. What would you do for tickets? And we had people doing all kinds of very bizarre things, some of which I can't even mention. Well, we got a call from a couple of special young ladies just getting off work over there at one of Bill's favorite establishments. And they were a little lit still, you know. And they said, well, we'll come in and we'll do a strip. We'll dance for you. They were strippers. And we'll dance for you for those tickets. We said, well, come on up. At the time, the radio station, K-Wolf, had just opened. And it was just K-Wolf and KFAR. And we were upstairs at the Washington Plaza Mall. And in the window of our studio is a window that goes through and looks onto KFAR. So we can see it. In there is Bill Wally doing his show, doing his morning show, Problem Corner, and he's doing a show. And he's in the middle of an ad, a live ad for Ann's Greenhouse. And we have these young ladies come in. And they come in, and they're pretty liquored up. And they start to take off their clothes, and they have their little thong and their little bikini thing. And we go, no, not for us. We want you to do it for Bill, the mayor. Don't say a word. Just walk in there and do your thing. And Bill is in the middle of his show, and you can hear the click, click of their heels as they stand on the table above him. And he's doing a live ad for Ann's Greenhouse.
Never missed a beat.
He's got his bifocals on, and he's watching them as he's reading the copy. My friends, let me tell you, the begonias at Ann's Greenhouse, my friends, are the finest and all. And he's going on, and the whole time he's pulling his wallet out and pulls a $5, puts it in the G-string while he's doing the live ad for Ann's Greenhouse, doesn't miss a beat. And all he says is it my birthday?
And then professional.
And he goes, I wonder whose idea this was to bring me in a couple of lovely guests. He never does say what's going on. He goes, I wonder who used to work for me. And he quickly glances over at us in the other window as we dive down and try to hide. And it was one of our favorites.
Oh, that's great.
That one and the other radio station prank was with Paul Stitt, who, of course, handles our sales guy. He's been here as long as I have.
Yeah.
And we've pranked him a couple times, and one of them, he used to just go in and there would be cookies or something. He would eat. He would never ask whose they were. And we would do Espresso Thursday, and we have an espresso machine on the air with us. And when you make espresso, as you know, after you press out that fine powdered espresso, very potent coffee powder grinds, it leaves these little cake-like shapes. So we had like four of those. And we had four pots of espresso, so we're all jacked up. And we sprinkled sugar on them and put them out front, knowing Paul would eat them without asking. We are in with the Anna, what was her name? She was Miss Alaska, and we're cutting a promo. She's got the sash, the tiara, and we're recording this in one of the studios. Paul comes in, and there's black foam pouring out of his mouth. Oh. It's all over his suit. You can't see his teeth. And all I can say is, you're such a bitch. And Jerry and I and Miss Alaska fall to the floor. We are on our backs laughing in tears. And that was...
Hey, what about KSUA? Didn't you do something there or what?
No. We can't air that one.
Talking pranks, jokes, and now we have a couple here. And the first one we'll set up, this was one you did with Satterberg, and this was back around Christmas.
COVID time, yeah, 2020, Christmas, yeah, Christmas Eve.
And he had just had COVID.
Yeah, him and his wife had just had COVID. They had already done their, what do you call it?
Quarantine and everything.
Yeah, and so we had Kimmy Van Wy pretend she was the head of Providence in Seattle calling him on the phone.
Can you imagine my wife in a long house?
To mess with Bill Satterberg. We're out here with the Van Wy clan. And Bill recently got COVID and recently donated blood like 2 days ago. He's on his way to Delta. He's driving. And so we're going to have the blood clinic call Mr. Satterberg and ask him a few questions and advise some further action.
Afternoon. Is this Mr. William Satterberg?
Yes, it is. Who's this?
Hi, my name is Dr. Amy. I'm calling with the coronavirus response team for the Western United States Region 10.
Okay.
Do you have a few minutes to chat?
Well, we'll have to make it pretty quick because we're getting ready to take off for a Christmas party, but go ahead.
Okay, well, this is slightly important. We understand that you have previously contracted the coronavirus. Is this correct?
We did.
You voted. Okay, thank you. I'll note that. We have actually recently received the results of your antibody test. And we've reviewed the results, and we've discovered several anomalies and discrepancies in the test results. I'd just like to review a few of them with you.
Okay.
Okay.
Can I go inside so I can listen to you?
Sure.
Okay, let me get a pen paper too, so I can get some notes from you.
Sure, of course.
What's your name again?
Dr. Amy.
All right, now while this is going on, Craig and the guys are all laughing, sitting in the video. This is on video.
Officer at Providence.
Okay, go ahead. I'm ready.
Sure. So we are currently contact tracing some severe mutations within the coronavirus in the United States specifically. And these mutations are occurring from the United Kingdom, South Africa, and actually several mink farms in Denmark. So we'd just like to ask you a few questions if you're willing.
Sure.
Not
been any of those places, by the way.
Okay, great.
I thought he'd throw that in.
Have you been around or been exposed to the saliva of any small vermin, including mink, marten, beaver, or muskrat?
No.
No. Okay, great. Have you been involved in any wild game processing, specifically ungulate, native to the state of Alaska?
Yes.
Yes.
Moose. Caribou both.
Okay, great. Thank you. And can you please confirm your home address? Okay.
Right, so
is this
guy going to
be quarantining immediately, by any chance?
Well, we've already gone through our quarantine.
Okay. So, actually, sir, we have a team of medical professionals that are currently on their way to Fairbanks. They're going to be on the ground at about 1,800 hours this evening. Are you going to be at your home address?
We are, but we're leaving town. We're going like 90 miles away for Christmas with our kids.
Okay. Well, interesting, because we're going to need to establish a perimeter around your quarantine location. Due to the severe mutation, and we're just not really clear how it spreads. It's this UK version. It's really being quite aggressive.
Really?
Yeah, and you know, I really just can't stress this enough. In the meantime, we're really going to need you to not have any further intercourse with small game animals.
Hey, Satterberg, how you doing?
All right, so there we go.
That was hook, line, and sinker there. Huh?
That was good stuff. That was
hurting.
That's quality stuff right there. Quality stuff.
Thank you.
Okay. Anyway, with us still is Craig Compo and Bill Satterberg, who you just heard. So with that in mind, now we did another bit. And we talked about it at the beginning of the show, and that was the Interior Motorboaters Association.
Yep.
And I had you on first. We did this on X-Rock on 95.9. April Fool's Day. And then you carried it over to here. So if you missed that on the show on
Friday.
On Friday. Thanks, man.
Yeah.
He's sitting there filling in all the blanks. I think I have it here. Here's the what happened there.
It's amazing just how exciting and how popular the Chena River has become over the years in downtown Fairbanks. As a recreation place during the summer, boats and floating and everything. Joining us, nobody knows more about rivers and boats than this man right here, and it's Craig Compo from Compost, of course, right on the river, right on the price. How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
That in there?
Yeah, I love
now, it. Now, you are with you're with so many different outdoor organizations and everything, and you have another organization you're with, and that is the IMA?
Yeah, Interior Motorboating Association.
Right. And so, you guys, of course, as far as motorboating, nobody knows more about motorboating than you guys.
Well, we've been doing it for a long time, since 1945, the family started it. So, but we've seen things change, you know, on the river in the last few years.
Oh, yeah.
Safety issues, you know, there's so many people now using the river, downtown especially, to float. A lot of floaters going down the river, and you're trying to mix that with motorboats. And so we've come up with an ordinance we're putting in front of the Fairbanks Borough Assembly. I appreciate the chance to
go over.
It's 2022-27 to provide for designated interior waterways for non-motorized river use, including raft, canoes, paddleboards, and other non-powered float-only devices.
Right. You see kayaks, you see floats, paddleboards are big. They're all over the river.
Yep. So this proposal is about safety and responsibility on the Chena River. And so what we're trying to do is suggest that the non-motorized groups be limited to like above Fort Wainwright and below Pike's Landing.
So they would have to stay above that bridge up there, or put in down like at the pump house and go south,
or they could go to Pikes
to the pump house.
Right, right.
But this proposal would eliminate
non-motorized
in the greater Fairbanks area on the Chena River. So that would be your paddleboards, your kayaks,
canoes,
floating.
And the reason is safety, Glenn. You know, they over the last few years, and I've been motorboating forever. But when you're on the river and you're going up the river, and they're coming. You come around the corner, there's 20, 30 floaters, and they don't follow the rules of the river. They're just everywhere. You have to come off step. You've got to idle around until you get past them. You get back on step, and your next corner, there's 20, 30 floaters. And it's dangerous, really, and it's expensive because you have to power up every time, and the price of fuel. So we're just trying to spread out some of the users of the river. And so the Upper Chena is beautiful. It's nice down below Pikes. It's a wider part of the river.
So this proposal would eliminate any kind of rafts, kayaks, paddle boards, canoes.
Unless they have a motor. If you have a raft with an engine on it, you're okay.
Okay, but obviously I haven't seen too many paddle boards with engines.
So they would be
out on the Chena.
Electric surfboards now,
right,
and things like that. But people can upgrade their paddleboard too if they want to. But it's just, on a sunny day, you've been there in the summer,
oh, sure,
it's just thick with people, you know. And
this will eliminate that, and it'll make it a lot safer for them and for the boaters, the motorboaters who love to motorboat, which I love motorboating.
I do too. I really do. And so we're not eliminating, like, Noise Slough. You can still go on Noise Slough.
Okay.
You know the pond by the Parks Highway Bridge?
The little pond.
Yeah, they can still go in there. It's just you got to stay off the main current flow of the river where motorboating is.
When do you think this would take place?
Well, there's public hearing where there's a public input on April 27th at the Borough Building. Members of the public, especially those that own motorboats and personal watercraft, we're encouraging to testify there at Borough Assembly. And for more information, go to our website. It's www.ilovemotorboating.com.
Okay. Let's just stop there because there is no website like that. We checked.
Yeah.
We had to check right real quick. Just hilarious. That was that came up on Friday. Of course, now, if you're just joining us, no, there is no IMA. No, there's no winter. It was all probably a joke. And the people, KFAR, just, they lost their
Collective Minds.
Oh, when, yeah, when Prus took calls and people were furious with me, and, you know, I just couldn't, they couldn't understand how I could even conceive of such an idea.
Well, there you go, folks. I hope you had a good, as good of an April Fool's Day as we did. And happy birthday, Bill Satterberg, yeah, for you on that, too.
Looking until forward then, to next year.
You guys all, good to have you with us. And, of course, we've got news coming up, and then don't forget Dave Prus will be back with Problem Corner tomorrow.
News and conversation. KFAR 660 AM Fairbanks. K24.